Nepal holds national elections today. 12 million voters go to the polls in a country that was ruled by monarchs for centuries. Nepal has 125 ethnic groups and deep divisions, making political consensus difficult. A 10-year civil war between the Maoists and the government ended in 2006. But the resulting Constituent Assembly spent 4 years trying to write a constitution without much success, leading to a political stalemate, as Kerry Phillips reports.
The transition in Nepal from absolute monarchy to democratic republic has been a long, bloody and as yet unfinished process. Demands for political change go back to the late 1940s, when pro-democracy movements first emerged, but the recent turmoil began in 1996, when the Communist Party of Nepal, which finds its inspiration in China's Mao Zedong, launched a revolution. The Maoists waged a 10-year guerrilla campaign in which more than 12,000 people died. The civil war ended with a peace agreement in 2005 and elections in 2008. The Maoists became the dominant party in a new parliament which voted overwhelmingly to abolish the monarchy and declare Nepal a secular federal republic. Nonetheless, political tension and instability have continued in Nepal. There have been four governments since then, and in May last year, when the Assembly had missed a fourth deadline to draft a constitution for the country, the Nepalese Supreme Court refused to grant another extension. The Prime Minister dissolved the Assembly, and the country has drifted in a state of political paralysis until these elections. Kunda Dixit is the editor of the Nepali Times newspaper.
The two main issues last year when the Constituent Assembly was dissolved, the two main issues over which political parties were deadlocked was a disagreement over whether Nepal should be a federal republic, and if so, how many federal provinces and how should they be named and how should their territories be demarcated. Now, some parties wanted provinces that were named after various ethnic groups, while some parties said, no, that will lead to the fragmentation of the country. We should keep the number of provinces to a minimum and name them after topography or rivers or whatever. So that was one. The other was a disagreement over whether Nepal should be a parliamentary system or a presidential one. So these are the two issues.
Anaga Neelakantan is the Deputy Director for Asia with the International Crisis Group.
The new constitution is meant to give shape to a Nepal that looks very different, a Nepal that is federal, secular, more inclusive, according to many. And these are questions that go to the heart of how many Nepalese see themselves. So, you know, there are deep social and political divides in the country that need to be overcome. I would say that's probably the main reason why Nepal had such a hard time getting a new constitution.
A constitution sets out the relationship between the state and the people. How difficult has it been for Nepal to continue along without a constitution or a government?
Well, obviously, I think you need a constitutional basis for things. When you get a crisis of government formation, for example, or questions about the role of the president, and a variety of other measures, obviously there needs to be something final in shape. Has it affected governance? Well, yes, budgets and things like that. I mean, there isn't even an elected government in Nepal right now, and there hasn't been for almost 18 months. So the constitution is the sort of basis for any future vision, any kind of policy making that's going to happen. It has to be done. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Half a dozen parties call themselves the Communist Party of Nepal, but only the Unified Communist Party of Nepal, the Maoists, and the Communist Party of Nepal, Unified Marxist-Leninist, have significant parliamentary representation. The Nepali Congress, an old party with a history of pro-democracy activism, is the second largest party in terms of the number of seats in the Constituent Assembly. More than 120 political parties have registered for Tuesday's election.
The question is it going to be a proper election? Is it going to be clean? Is it going to be free and fair and independent? That is a real worry that some people have. There's also a great deal of apathy and disillusionment with the political parties, which may mean that the turnout will be very low. So there are all these other factors, but I think this is a desperate election. This is a desperate attempt to find a way out of the political deadlock. And even though it's going to be probably a not perfect election, many people want to go through with it just so that we'll get over the stalemate.
Will this election solve Nepal's political impasse?
Yeah, I think this is, as I said, this is another go at trying to resolve those two issues. Unfortunately, nothing has been done in the past year since the failure of the last assembly to make any progress on this disagreement. So the doubts about whether the election will actually solve anything remains, because we're going to have the same faces, probably, the same number of assembly men elected, or mainly men, there are hardly any women, and then the issues are the same. So unfortunately, it looks like we don't have a very good prospect of this assembly succeeding either, but there is no other option. I mean, we have to go through with it.
Gunda Dixit, the editor of the Nepali Times newspaper, ending that report from Kerry Phillips. It's 8:27.